Good morning.
Hi, Elias.
My friend. So what shall we discuss?
Let us see. I'm doing very well.
Hey.
I am enjoying increased flexibility with my intention. Attention, that is.
Excellent.
Which is very enjoyable. A few new things. One I wanted to say, I did start reaching out to other people, other forum members, and I'm going to do more of this going forward, to do sort of exploratory calls. Well, we've talked about my direction, and so what I'm trying to see is if there is anything there that is would be interesting to me or valuable to other people. And so taking people with maybe similar interests that I can, you know, tell because they've shared information or something that there may be something worth us getting together to talk about. Where one, it's just a sharing and it'll be, you know, there's no expectations and it's for fun to begin with, but if there's an opportunity for me to share my experience and what's helped me, then I can do so.
And have you begun that?
Yeah.
And how is it proceeding to this point?
It's fine. It's enjoyable to me. It's, you know, you. There's another thing you got to talk about. You got to keep your expectations low because, I mean, we're talking about two different perception sets. That's the hardest thing is a lot of times is someone has a completely different starting point. I mean, even if I think about talking to someone like my kids, like when you're trying to get to a point, you got to start with information they trust. And build off of that.
Offer an example.
Okay, this is a good example. It was with my daughter was in the last couple of weeks was just she's always been, I think internally, but more so she's been vocally about how tough she is on herself and criticizing herself all the time. And so my wife got in an argument with her over it, and it was funny. And so I started teasing her about it and then trying to figure out a way to offer her information, the idea that, you know, even making jokes like, you know, if you talk to your friends this way, how many friends would you have the way you talk to yourself? And her view was that, a very legitimate view based on some things that she had heard, that, you know, the more you're satisfied with yourself, the more you're going to be complacent and never improve. And so she saw that as a distinct negative where she thought the more you're tough on yourself and critical, the more you'll get better. Which we know is not exactly true. And so I have been trying to offer additional information and, you know, more of instead of being critic, you can be your biggest encourager. But again, the way to do it is to do it not in a way of teaching or, certainly not in a way of arguing, but trying to find something that she already agrees with that is leaning in that direction.
Yes. And in your interaction with her, was she receptive to what you were expressing?
Oh yeah, even I found a section of a book that I showed her as a joke because I made it my thing to kind of tease her a little bit about it. Ooh, are we criticizing ourselves now, or are we encouraging ourselves? And then just to offer her the information that there is a different perspective out there, that you know there are people who disagree with that, and there is information or evidence suggesting that maybe being encouraging is actually helpful. Not necessarily to change her or to expect that she's going to change right away, but that is information is available for her if she chooses to use it.
Excellent. Excellent. And how did you address the idea that if you were satisfied with yourself or if you were comfortable, that you would be complacent?
We looked at examples of people. I gave her examples of people that were, let's say, phenomenal sports people or whatever. I'm like, do you think they're out there every day saying, oh, I'm terrible at this, so I'm going to go do it again and again? You know, someone that's amazing at golf is going to – no, they're having fun. And you normally – you do more of and get better at what you enjoy and what you like to do. It's natural. It doesn't have to be forced. You don't need to criticize yourself. You move in the direction of what you like. And so that was the angle that we presented.
Excellent. That is an excellent example. Yes. And it doesn't require discounting yourself to motivate yourself. Actually, being pleased with yourself is a larger motivator.
Right. Right. And so in talking with other people, you know, everyone has their own set of what they believe has worked for them in the past, right? And so you try to find, I think, a little bit of common ground where you could see what that person is. I'm not sure if I have the right words for this, but maybe, I guess what they do trust, and try to build off of that.
Excellent. Excellent.
And it's easier, obviously, if I'm talking to someone that is familiar with you, and it would certainly be harder for someone that was completely...
Although I would say that your expressions and your interaction with your daughter was very creative. That was a presentment of excellent examples to her.
Okay. Good.
With the individuals that you have been engaging, what types of subjects have you explored?
Well, I've only done a little bit so far, but it's been, let's see. One is, and this is my favorite thing, maybe my favorite thing, but my favorite way to get into my flow, to get back into my flow, which I could do it within a couple of minutes, is simply to remind myself not to want anything to be different right now. And if I could do that for a couple of minutes, I know I'm back in my flow. I stop fighting with it, and I start looking around, and my attention that just naturally moves in the new direction.
Excellent.
And so... That's a starting point, and using that as the idea that that is that movement into acceptance. And you're not, you know, again, if we're talking about with an Elias person, you could talk about the reflection, and you don't try to change the reflection, right? Or you don't argue with the reflection. You move in a different direction.
Right.
And then the other suggestion is, I think, and I'm learning this, that the biggest problem or the biggest challenge that people deal with is too much thinking.
Yes, most definitely.
So my suggestions on, oh, the other thing is, and again, we talked about this last time, was not using feelings as a barometer of our success. I get the sense that is, people are like, oh, I'm trying this, I've been trying that, but I feel the same way, you know?
Yes.
And my suggestion was more the idea, well, why don't we see how many times you can intentionally smile? And if you are successful, that's your barometer of success.
Correct. Correct.
That, is changing your energy right there.
Right.
Looking around, noticing what's physically occurring, something like that to get you out of your head.
Yes. And also, I would express that another difficulty that is very common is that people use their feelings as a gauge of genuineness. That their choices aren't genuine if they don't feel it.
Ah, right, right. I remember dealing with that a lot in the past where it feels fake.
Yes. Yes.
And that's actually, now I could say that's a sign of that you're moving in the right direction.
I would agree. I would definitely agree. And I would express that that in itself is the interesting factor in relation to feelings is that the individuals use feelings as a gauge of genuineness, and then they also express that the validation of that expressed in feelings also, because when they generate a choice, it feels false or it feels fake.
Right. And the example, I think I didn't touch upon that directly, but I did notice with my own experience with the smiling.
Yes.
It may feel fake the first day that I'm doing it, but the next day I will spontaneously smile more often. That feels more real.
Aha. Excellent. That is an excellent example also.
And so even if you do it and it is fake the first day, that's fine. That's fine. It's a new direction. It doesn't mean it's not working or it's not
correct.
Effective.
Correct. And also, it is a matter of remembering that feelings are not an indicator of your energy, and they are not an indicator of whether you are genuine or not, or whether you are being successful or not.
Right.
Feelings are simply signals.
Right.
Difficult concept for most individuals. You're experimenting. What are you learning? What are you presenting to yourself that you see as a benefit to you?
Oh, it very much reminds me, like having a conversation like that with someone strengthens my own ability to be intentional and remember tremendously.
Excellent.
Absolutely, totally reinforces. It's a benefit to both people, I think, tremendously.
I definitely would agree.
The other thing I've been playing around with is the idea of expectation, and everything is due to. Every problem I have is due to expectations, in a way.
do tell. Elaborate on that.
Yeah. And so I was – this is something else I want to tell you about, but I started with the idea that I'm going to – I was working on the idea, why is – some of these things occurring over and over, and how many times are you going to acknowledge this feeling and this direction, and it just does not change. It just feels like it goes endless, and it's like, well, what am I doing here if it doesn't change? And so I was thinking of the idea that it's because the actual belief was unaddressed. And then when I started to write down these beliefs, I realized they were expectations.
Ah.
And so they were this, And once I saw the expectations, it all fit together, because it was like, as long as you have these expectations as requirements that life must be this way or I must be this way, I've already came to the table with my unhappiness. I'm already saying I'm going to be unhappy when this happens.
I very much agree. And I would say that this is a tremendous realization. Have you been sharing this also with other individuals?
I've started to. It's very new.
Because I would say that this is an excellent example to present to other individuals, and excellent information that other individuals can understand more easily, because, like yourself, individuals tend to immediately begin evaluating in relation to their beliefs. Regardless of how many times I have expressed to all of you that your beliefs are not the problem, this is the first direction that most people move in to examine, in a manner of speaking, what belief is influencing them in a direction that is creating an uncomfortable situation, or that them to be unhappy. And generally, it isn't a matter of their beliefs that are influencing them. That isn't what the difficulty is. It is either expectations or constructs, which their constructs are then expressed as expectations also. Therefore,
right.
Correct.
Even my goals are expectations.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So one of the things I thought was...
Now, that isn't to say that expectations are always bad, or that expectations are always leading you in a negative direction, because you can use that expression of expectations in different manners, and you can actually express that at times in a positive capacity or to your benefit, in which you are motivating yourself and moving yourself in a direction that you actually want and appreciate. But more often than not, you are correct. Expectations are what are moving in the direction of being a hindrance to you.
When they become a requirement.
Yes. Yes. Definitely. And I would say in that, or addressing to that point, I would say that whenever an expectation is a requirement, regardless of whether it is viewed as positive or negative, it becomes an obstacle. It becomes a hindrance.
Right.
Because it is being expressed in an extreme and an absolute.
Right. That's the opposite of the flexibility and openness.
Definitely. Definitely.
So one of the things I was doing, and I don't know if this is helpful or not, but I do this stuff anyway, was I was writing down, like, my expectations, like, oh, I should be doing better. And then I would write on another column of paper, what's a more you know, what's a way to move more aligned with acceptance and trust? And, you know, you could write a book as a belief statement, but include the evidence, the reason for it, because otherwise it's just a, you know, like an affirmation that you don't believe. But if I say, you know, I am fine, acceptable, everything is acceptable as it is because I don't want to struggle anymore, and acceptance is the direction of this shift, and it's the direction I'm moving in.
Excellent.
You know, just as a reminder of why, to reinforce the other direction.
Yes, yes. Which I would express is excellent, because this, yet again, is another expression, an avenue that most individuals don't do. They don't credit themselves. They don't pay as much attention to what they are accomplishing and reinforce that. They focus on what they aren't doing. They focus on what you began with, what isn't enough, and what they aren't doing or what they aren't accomplishing.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I do that in spades.
Reinforced over and over and over again. Even when you can identify and think about this was an accomplishment, the general automatic response is, yes, 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 I did this, but I still haven't accomplished this.
Right. You automatically concentrate on what's not being accomplished.
Correct. Correct.
Right. It's in the background, lingering there.
Correct. And that generates more, or the bulk of the energy. And then individuals wonder why they aren't accomplishing easier or in the manner that they want to. It is because of what you concentrate on and what you pay attention to. The more you are acknowledging yourself, the easier it becomes to do whatever you want to do.
But what if that concentration on what you're not doing also occurs every time you're acknowledging yourself? To a degree.
It is different. Because in this, it is the difference between what you were speaking about in relation to expectations of yourself that are absolute, or that you interpret as hindrances, and the difference between that and moving in natural directions of generating more. When you are acknowledging yourself and crediting yourself and acknowledging your accomplishments and your successes, as you engage them, and aren't following that with the, but I haven't accomplished this yet, you are moving in a direction in which you allow that natural expression to occur, in which you are concentrating on what you are doing and what you do have and what is satisfying, and then creating more of that rather than creating more of what you don't have or what you don't want or what isn't satisfying. because you always automatically create more of what you pay attention to and what you concentrate on.
Maybe I misunderstood you for a moment, but I was asking, but what if that automatic concentration occurs every time you credit yourself in the background? You're aware of what you're not doing.
Then it is a matter of addressing to what is threatening you, what you don't believe and what you feel threatened by that is continuing to discount your acknowledgement or your crediting of yourself. And let me express to you that if you are crediting yourself genuinely, you might be aware of what you haven't accomplished yet, but it is not an issue. It is not an expectation. It isn't a problem.
I think I just also thought of a helpful is also to, build on something you already trust. And I have, we've talked many times about how things don't unfold how you expect it to. And that's
correct.
Not important. That's not to be, don't make that an issue. Don't worry about the how or the
correct.
When. And so that's helpful to remember that.
I definitely agree. And in that, I would say that if you are incorporating that expression of concentration on what you haven't yet accomplished when you are attempting to credit yourself or acknowledge yourself, what requires attention is that you aren't actually genuinely crediting yourself. Because when you are genuinely crediting yourself and making that important, then the knowledge that you may not have completed something you are aware of, but it isn't something that is significantly important in that moment, because you also are acknowledging that you are moving in that direction.
Now, I understand that. But if I think back to even a few months ago, I feel more comfortable now. I feel looser, more open-minded, let's say, more flexible.
I definitely agree. But now what I would also say to you is there is another factor in relation to this subject of crediting yourself, because initially you may not be making that as important, and initially you might not even believe it. You may be simply engaging the motions or expressing the idea to yourself because you have been told that will be successful. And it will be. And it is important and it is significant even when you don't believe it yet. Because
okay.
It does change your energy. It does lessen the energy that you are projecting in relation to the negative or what you don't have or what you aren't accomplishing. It does lessen your concentration in those directions. It doesn't entirely change it, but eventually it does, because eventually you begin to move in that direction of crediting yourself more and more and more automatically. It becomes easier and it becomes more natural. And then your concentration and your energy does change fully.
Okay. I feel like I'm moving in that direction because even a month ago, I went to a party with friends, and these are dear friends that I have no need to put on a face for or whatever, but I felt uncomfortable because of my own lack of accomplishment on the job front. Like, I felt like I was just aware of it, and I realized how much I was holding to that.
And that can be very valuable information also, because that can prompt you to look at and evaluate what is your perception of the expectations of other people. And what is your perception of how they see you? How much of that is you projecting that onto them, and how much of that is actually accurate?
Right, right. These are people that I've known my whole life, and so I don't have, there's no reason that I would, you know, need to impress, or, you know, they've seen me through the good and the bad in the past. And yet that was happening automatically,
right,
that I had built in this, like, I guess, internalized this expectation, you know, because obviously it's my expectation. So it's my expectation of myself to appear a certain way.
Knowledge to you in relation to that, that is very common, because when you are interacting with other individuals, especially individuals that you are close to or that you love or that you like and that you are comfortable with, there is another factor that comes into play for most people, just as you you should be comfortable with them. You've known them for a considerable time framework, and in most situations you are comfortable, and it seems odd that you wouldn't be comfortable automatically in this situation. But there is another factor in which it isn't only the projection of what you perceive is their perception or how they see you, but then there is another factor of your expectation of yourself, in a manner of speaking, that you don't want to disappoint other people.
Oh, absolutely. I want to be a success. I don't want to be, we've talked about that in the past. I don't want to be seen as a failure.
You want to show them that you are worthy of their attention, of their affection, of their friendship, of their caring. But you already are. But that is an automatic and very common expression that people don't necessarily automatically think about.
Right. And that independence construct.
Very much so.
Ties in very strongly. I want to be projected myself as independent on my own.
Yes. Yes. Because that is good. And therefore, you want other people to see you in that light.
Right. I had another interesting experience at a another party after that that was a much more uncomfortable party. It wasn't people that I knew well at all, and it was just a situation that wasn't comfortable. It was interesting. It was kind of funny because it was a party for a friend's child, and they had this dance floor and lots of dance activities going on, and it brought up all these past associations, and I was shocked at how, you know, if we go back to my own history, right, and where that would bring up periods of me judging myself, right, to be, you know, do something different or to move in a direction that I wasn't comfortable with. And all that judging, like, energy was coming up again. And it was kind of funny because in this situation, I really didn't have anything to gain from one way or another or anything to lose. But
now, let me express to you momentarily, this also is very common, and I would say that for the most part, most individuals don't understand what prompts that, and they many times will give that much more importance than it is due. Meaning they will attempt to evaluate, why did that happen? Why did I feel that? What is happening? What is being expressed? What am I doing? And in actuality, that is a very common action. Remember, triggers are simply input generally through your senses that tap a memory. But in that, this can occur at any moment, in any situation, and depending on what is occurring or what your senses are inputting, it may touch a memory that is uncomfortable. This is the reason that we label them as triggers.
I'm very happy with what I was able to do. Is I moved in a direction of expressing love, and I was able to include myself, all that judgment energy, and include that in that openness. And the experience was just very comfortable and relaxed after that.
Excellent, excellent. That I am tremendously acknowledging. That is genuinely excellent, because that is actually moving in a constructive direction in which you aren't giving importance to that momentary experience and feeling of being uncomfortable, which is genuinely excellent, because this does occur semi-frequently with individuals, that momentarily they may seemingly out of the blue feel uncomfortable, and it triggers a past memory that they are uncomfortable with. And the memory will be vivid, and what they generally do is then move their attention to that and dwell on that, and it simply snowballs. But moving your attention in a different direction and expressing in the manner that you did is an excellent expression in not making that trigger important.
And I think the energy that was raised from the uncomfortableness, like, it lended support to that direction.
Excellent. Yes, I can see how you could express that, and that is excellent.
I guess from a motivational factor, right?
Definitely. And it is taking the intensity and the volume of energy that is initially being expressed and turning it and maintaining that volume and intensity, but in a very different expression and an intentional one.
Yeah, I was pleased with that.
As you should be. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is tremendous. It is exceptionally inspiring, my friend, to listen to an individual such as yourself expressing an actual practical application of choice and your own power.
Yeah.
That is tremendous.
It's every day. Like, even once I can, you know, remember that I'm not struggling to change anything right now, boom, that frees my attention.
Yes. Yes.
And then now it's free. I can do whatever I want. I can appreciate that we're sitting here having this conversation. I can.
Precisely. And I can congratulate you.
Thank you. And thank you very much, Elias. This has moved in a, you know, I was a couple months ago, I was going to ask you if I was damaging myself. In other words, I felt like I was losing all motivation and moving in possibly a direction that was not physically harmful, but socially harmful. And I think that was the fact that that was that.
In what capacity?
I just felt completely unmotivated. And again, maybe that's not the right word, because, not to say completely unmotivated, it was just compared to my normal self, but I think that that was a lessening of the fight to a degree.
Yes.
That I took as me giving up.
Yes. But let me also express to you that this is an opportunity, my friend, to redefine certain expressions such as giving up and recognizing that the feeling of that action is definitely not an indicator of what the action actually is, because that expression of giving up is actually implementing that benefit to yourself and moving in the direction of the allowance, which is excellent. But it feels at times defeated.
Discouraging, yeah.
Yes. And that is the signal that is alerting you to what you are perceiving. Now, if you are actually looking at the signal simply as a signal and evaluating what that signal is alerting you to and what you are actually doing, then you could see that that isn't valid. That you in giving up aren't actually expressing being defeated or discouraged. That you actually are moving in a direction of allowing.
Right, you're really giving up that control over how things happen.
You are giving up, yes. They hold on what you were doing. You are letting go.
I think when I listen to other people's sessions with you, that's sense of being caught in between that I felt is a very common perception.
I definitely agree. That is a difficult position for most individuals because people are not comfortable simply being, or in your terminology, sitting with themselves and what they feel. They aren't comfortable with that. When they generate feelings, they automatically express in the direction of that they have to do about the feelings, whether they are good or bad. They have to do something about it.
Right. One exercise that to kind of move in a different direction that I started doing, and I thought I've been testing it to see if it would help people move out of their heads, and I think it does, is in the moment to identify, and again, this is the way I phrased it to myself. You can come up with a different way to phrase it, but identify five things within three senses, at least three senses that are occurring right now. Right? So I would go, well, I can hear the background hum of my refrigerator, the sensations of my feet on the floor, you know, I'm looking at my desk. And if I do that a few times through the day, what happens is without that question necessarily being asked, I start to pay attention to what's happening in the present.
Which is an excellent, excellent example of how practice moves you into automatic expressions that you don't have to think about any longer.
And I thought that was a good way to get out of the thought process, because sometimes when you're saying, okay, be present, right, you're doing more thinking than you are being present.
I very much agree.
yeah, I know that. Be present. Okay. What else? It's not working.
The catch 22. Stop thinking, but only think about being present.
Right.
I very much understand.
And then the other thing is, when you're trying to be present with that way, is I'm too uncomfortable. I'm too uncomfortable. I can't be present because I'm too uncomfortable. Well, that is the present. That is occurring.
Precisely, which is what I was expressing to you previously, is that most people are not comfortable simply being, because they aren't comfortable with being with their feelings.
And when you say most, that's pretty much all of us to begin with.
I would say, when I say most, there are few exceptions. Most people, I would not say blanketly everyone, because there are some exceptions, but very few. Most people are not comfortable being with their feelings. Therefore, they are not comfortable simply being. That is what influences them in the direction of doing about. They cannot simply sit with themselves and be. They have to do something about.
And when you just say, you know what, I don't want anything to be different, including my feelings right now, then they just kind of settle on their own.
Precisely. Then the importance of them lessens. The more you have to do something about with feelings, the more important you make them. And the stronger they become.
There's another question I just remembered, which was part of what I discussed with you, but the reason I got into it was, so when I was thinking about some of these things that I have struggled with in the past and these automatic reactions, my thought was, and I mentioned that I'm noticing that I'm judging myself, and this is due to, because I have this expectation, right, that this should be different or this should be better or whatever. And then the reason I came up with what I called my empowered belief, or a belief that is more aligned with acceptance and trust, was my thought process was that if I write these down initially and put them on paper, something where I could read occasionally, I'll build an automatic association between the reaction and the new empowered choice, so that in the heat of the moment, it would be easier to make that connection. That was my goal.
Example.
Well, the idea that for a lot of us, we know exactly what to do, but you get confused when you're in that automatic reaction.
Yes, I definitely agree.
We all know acceptance and trust is the way, right? It's not hard. It's our thought process lead us into, oh, well, maybe if I just did this I got to do something different, new, and you just forget what you actually know.
Yeah.
So is there a way to, since the mind kind of works via association, to associate, if you already know that this is a reaction that I do, can you associate a new choice or a new direction with that? You know, kind of like you talked about stamping the association that is not important. That's what kind of got me thinking in this direction.
Yes. Very similar to what I have expressed in other situations with people, that it only requires 20 seconds to change a situation. It only requires 20 seconds to alter a feeling. 20 seconds. And in that, if you can simply remember words, 20 seconds, you don't have to evaluate anything. You don't have to be aware of anything. You don't have to move in evaluating anything. All that is important is to remember two words, 20 seconds, 20 seconds.
Now, let me just push back on that a little bit, because I think when most people, and I'll throw myself in this bucket, particularly initially, is when they think of a feeling, they actually have a mood. Is when, in other words, they don't notice the feeling until they're in the mood. And then it's coloring everything, right? I have this irritation. Well, I'm constantly irritated. That's when I'm more likely to notice. If I'm not, you know, if I haven't been paying that much attention, that's when I'm going to really notice the feeling.
And I agree.
I assume that takes more than 20 seconds, I would assume.
No. What I would say to you is it only requires 20 seconds to break that concentration in relation to a feeling. Now,
okay.
That doesn't mean that the feeling will disappear forever. What I am saying is it only requires 20 seconds to interrupt the concentration on a feeling. For a now feeling, 20 seconds will actually change it. Because you have interrupted it, and any interruption of a now feeling immediately. Think of now feelings as bubbles.
Yep.
That as soon as you interrupt them, they pop. Now, with then feelings, that doesn't happen. Because the then feeling isn't a bubble. The then feeling is more similar to a thick balloon. It will pop, but not as easily as a bubble. And in that, even with a then feeling, it only requires 20 seconds for that concentration on a then feeling to be interrupted. Now, with a then feeling, that doesn't mean it disappears entirely, but it will change. It will dissipate. It will be less strong because the concentration has been interrupted. And the more you do that, once you continue to interrupt the concentration, eventually it does stop it altogether. Now, when I say eventually, what that means is that at times, depending upon the intensity of a then feeling, an individual may have to repeat that interruption 5 or 6 or more times repeatedly in rapid succession, because the then feeling will continue to return. But what you don't understand is that you don't have to do that indefinitely, because the body consciousness receives the message and it takes over. Meaning that the body consciousness receives that message, no, I'm not concentrating on this. No, I am not continuing to pay attention. Signal. And because you continue to say no, the body consciousness stops generating signal. Because the signal is coming from your body consciousness. Therefore, when you repeatedly say no, the body consciousness won't continue to move in that automatic direction. It will stop.
One thing I wanted to add, when you said popping of a bubble,
yes,
it brought to mind the idea that that's what you, it feels like you can pop perceptions like a bubble.
Yes, you can. You can. That at times can be somewhat more difficult, but actually, literally, you can.
Yeah, it's the imagery, the whatever it is, it floats up and boom.
Yes.
Pop it. Okay.
Very much agree. Very much agree.
Thank you, Elias. This is tremendous.
Are exceptionally welcome, my friend. I express tremendous, tremendous acknowledgement to you and what you are accomplishing, and more acknowledgement that you are branching out and involving other individuals and therefore helping other individuals to move in new directions of perception also. Well done.
Thank you.
I shall greatly be anticipating our next inspirational conversation. In wondrous lovingness to you, my dear friend, as always. Au revoir.
Goodbye.